see everyone this morning. And I think I'm hot, right? I'm on. If you have your Bibles with you this morning, we're going to pick up where we left off a few weeks back in Ephesians chapter 5. Ephesians chapter 5. And I want to drop down to verse number 18 and read this, and then we'll study some other scriptures in light of what we're going to see and so forth. By the way, it's good to see Luther and Sybil with us today. Good to see you today. Amen. Praise the Lord. Yeah, it's good to have your family to say. Praise the Lord. Yeah. Bill and Susie, you have your family with you today? Amen. Good to have you today. Thank you for being with us today. Amen. I'm going to give you a quick test this morning on things that we've learned so far in our study here, right? Mel's ready. He's always a good quiz taker. And the test is, what does the Bible command us when it comes to our relationship with the Holy Spirit? What are the three commandments that the Bible gives to us as we think about the Spirit of God living inside of us? We've studied those. Those have been intense studies for the last several weeks, and I'll remind you of those once again. The Bible says, first of all, that we are not to grieve God's Spirit. Remember, that's in Ephesians. We're not to grieve God's Spirit. Another one was the Bible says that we are not to quench the Spirit of God. We're not to stifle the Spirit of God. And this one, this is our second lesson on what the Scripture says, and I'll go ahead and read that for us in verse number 18. Ephesians 5:18 says that don't get drunk on wine, which leads to reckless actions, but be filled by the Spirit of God. So the third imperative, the third commandment, as we deal with our relationship with the Holy Spirit, is to be filled with God's Spirit. Now, today we're going to look at some scriptures. We're going to try to understand what that looks like to be filled with God's Spirit. And we'll see here how we can apply that to our lives as well. I think it's kind of ironic here that Paul mentions under the inspiration of God's Spirit in verse 18 when he says, "And do not get drunk with wine, which leads to reckless behavior." Now, let me start illustrating or just kind of sharing with you some things about what I think is important in the text today. So if I said to you today in my natural self, right, in my natural being, that I can go from right now being sober and then I can make myself become drunk on wine, or drunk, not with wine, but drunk. Can I do that? Now, I may act like I'm drunk, right? I may fall around and I may, you know, my speech may be slurred or and so forth and so on. But do I have it inside of me to go from being sober to that of being drunk? Can I do it naturally? No, there has to be something else out here that would fill me in order for me to be under the influence of that. So therefore, I understand that there has to be another force, another element, something else that would cause me to have slurred speech, watery eyes, red eyes, you know, not able to stand on my feet, so forth and so on. So that's the understanding here when the Bible says that we are to be filled by God's Spirit. 2 weeks ago, we looked at that filling of the Spirit of God when I argued that the filling of the Spirit, the verb fill, is in the present tense, something that we are always needing in our life. I need the filling of the Spirit always, constantly in my life. And then we looked at it in the fact that not only is it in the present tense, but it is in the passive voice. In other words, the filling of the Spirit of God, the control of the Spirit of God, the influence of the Spirit of God is not something that I can do in myself. Just like I cannot produce drunkenness in my own self. I cannot say, I'm sober now, wait just a minute, oh, now I'm drunk, right? That's not in me. There has to be something from without that would cause me to come, that would come inside of me, that would cause me to come under the influence of alcohol, under the influence of wine, and it is certainly true as well to come under the influence of God's Holy Spirit and to be controlled by Him. So it is in the present tense, something that we are always needing to do. It is in the passive voice. The filling of the Spirit of God is not anything that can be naturally done. It has to be done by the Spirit of God. And again, it is in the imperative. Now I'm going to quote a verse for you and hopefully make a little point here in passing through this. But the Bible says to be filled with the Spirit of God. I've argued that it is in the command form. The Bible commands us to be filled. When you look over to John chapter 2, in John's teaching or John's word that he gives to us in his gospel, in John chapter 2, Jesus had performed his first miracle. And the miracle was changing water into wine. And you remember that Jesus, he was there, and Mary said, "They're out of wine." And Jesus said, "What does it have to do with me?" And she says, "Do everything that he says to do." And then Jesus turned to those servants and he said, "Fill those water jugs full of water." And so notice the filling of the water. He said, "Fill them up." And there the context of the verb is in the aorist tense, which just simply means a one-time event. So it's not in the continuous action. We're still not filling water pots today. That is in the continuous action. And so there is in the Greek text something that can happen once. It is a done. It is done. It is finished. It's over. Just like there in John chapter 2. But here the verb means let us continue to be filled with God's Spirit. It is something that we all need each and every day of our lives. So I want you to turn now over with me and we'll start working through some scriptures to kind of understand what the filling of the Spirit looks like. And I want you to turn over to the book of Galatians chapter 5 and verse 22. I covered a lot of this 2 weeks ago, but this has to be our springboard to get us into where I want us to study this morning. Galatians 5 and verse 22. Here Paul says, Galatians 5, 22, he says, "But the fruit, singular, of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, goodness, kindness, goodness, faith, gentleness, self-control." And he says, "And against such there is no law." Remember from our last study, I said that these are not something that I can develop. The fruit of the Spirit is like that of, as Paul mentioned over there, it's like coming under the influence of wine, coming under the influence of alcohol, that we must come under the influence of the Spirit of God. And as we come under His influence, remember that He will, that the manifestation of that will be this ninefold fruit of God's Spirit that will be manifested in and through our lives. Remember, this is not natural. It's not natural for me to say, "Oh, here I'm sober, now I'm drunk." No, I cannot do that in my own strength, right? And I cannot produce the ninefold fruit of God's Spirit, naturally speaking. It has to be something that the Spirit of God produces in my life. So how does the Spirit of God produce His fruit in my life? Right? We are bound by those three commandments, right? That we're not to grieve God's Spirit. How do we grieve His Spirit? We grieve His Spirit simply when we allow sin to get in our life and we're unwilling to confess that sin. We are offending the Spirit of God. We cannot do that and expect to be filled by God's Spirit. The Bible also says that we're not to quench the Spirit. We're not to stifle the Spirit. And yet, and what does that mean? It means that we're to yield our lives to the Spirit of God. And as long as I'm yielding my life to the Spirit of God, as long as I'm not offending the Spirit of God, then I am going to be filled with God's Spirit. And that ninefold manifestation of that fruit will become evident in my life. Now, there's nine words here, and I think it would be interesting if we took all nine words and I were to do a study on those nine words. But, you know, you know that might take us until the Lord comes back. I want to take one of the words. I want to take the first word. If you're looking at Galatians 5:22, the fruit of the Spirit is love. And I want to do a study on the word love real quickly with you. And what we're going to see in love then would apply to the other eight words as well. All nine words, you can make the same application that the fruit of the Spirit is not naturally, it is supernaturally given to us in the manifestation of God's Spirit. So we're going to take love, and I'm going to share a few things here about love. If you're following along, I'm going to ask you to turn all the way back to the Gospel of John. John chapter 5 for just a moment. John chapter 5, and I'll pick up reading in verse number 39. John chapter 5, verse 39. And we're looking at this love. The Bible says the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, goodness, kindness, self-control. Against such there is no law. So here, let's look at love. Jesus said in John 5, 39, he says, "You pore over the scriptures because you think that you have eternal life in them, and yet they testify about me, and you're not willing to come to me so that you may have life. I do not accept glory from men, but I know that you have no love for God within you." Friends, note with me that words of Jesus when he's looking at this group of religious people, and he's saying very clearly, "You have no love for God within you." And friends, what I would argue in the text is that, remember that Jesus is speaking to a group of religious people, and friends, they could go through the motions, they could say everything that is right, but it was impossible for them to have any love toward God. So the love that we have in our hearts toward the Lord Jesus Christ and toward the Father is a love then that is based upon the fruit of God's Spirit that is inside of us. Remember that in my natural self, before I became a believer, before I trusted the Lord, friends, there was no love in my heart toward God. And so the love that I have in my heart toward God today is the evidence of being filled with God's Spirit. Friends, it's not that difficult. It's not that hard, right? That we understand that when we understand the workings of the Spirit of God in our life, no wonder Jesus said that it is for your advantage that I go away, because when I go away, I will send you the Comforter, and He will guide you and direct you. And so, friends, notice with me that everywhere that we go, in all the things that we do, and all the things that we say, that we are spreading God's love to a lost and a dying world. Friends, when we're in with our families, or when we're in with our co-workers, or whatever we're at, remember that when we're filled with God's Spirit, then the Bible is saying that the love of God then will be poured out not only in my life, but also in the lives of people then that are around me. Remember that the love of God is not natural, it is supernatural. And the manifestation of God's Spirit as He produces that energy and that work in our life is there only because the Spirit of God is not quenched, because we're not stifling the Spirit of God, we're yielding our lives to the Spirit of God, and we're not offending Him. We've given Him our lives, and we want Him to do great and mighty things in and through our lives. Friends, understand that the lost world will never know the love of God that we know. It's not that we're special, right? We're sinners, but it is the fact that when we become a born-again Christian, the Spirit of God comes in us, and it is there where we begin to experience God's love. And man, what a great, great experience that is. By the way, while we're in John, I want you to turn over with me to John chapter 3 and verse 16. We shouldn't have to read this verse, but I'll go ahead and read it. Probably the most recognized or well-known verse of all times in John 3, chapter 3 and verse 16. And notice here what John said, or Jesus, his words here. He says, "For God loved in this way, that He gave His one and only Son, that whoever believes in Him will not perish but have everlasting life. For God so loved the world that He gave His one and only Son, that whoever believes in Him." So friends, isn't it amazing that the world, right, the larger group of the nations of the world, that God's love is being manifested in their lives too. Why? Because people everywhere are being filled with God's Spirit, and they've come to the manifestation to be filled with His Spirit is to have a love then for the Lord Jesus Christ. I want you to turn all the way over to almost the end of our New Testament and find your place in 1 John. 1 John And I want to read a couple of verses over here in 1 John chapter 2 for just a moment. 1 John chapter 2, and I'll pick up reading in verse 15. As you're turning and finding your place in 1 John 2:15, I want to just say it again that remember that all 9 different words of the fruit of the Spirit would apply in the same way that all that the word love that I'm going through now. So we have joy, we have peace, we have kindness, we have long suffering, we have self control. Remember, all of that is a manifestation of being filled with God's Spirit. Those things are not natural in ourselves. They are generated. The energy of those things are only given to a born-again believer who is not stifling the Spirit of God and who is not offending the Spirit of God who lives in us by our unconfessed sin. 1 John chapter 2 and verse 15. Notice here the words of the Apostle John. Here is a love that God hates. And here's what John says, 15. Do not love the world or the things that belong to the world. If anyone loves the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For everything that belongs to the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of one's lifestyle is not from the Father, but is from the world. The world with its lust is passing away, but the one who does God's will then remains forever. Friends, it seems there that John is simply saying, look, if you want to look at your life before you became a Christian, it was the idea that we love the world, the passions of the world, the things of the world. That was the love here that Paul would mention. John would mention here in 1 John, do not love the world. Remember, there's a love that God hates, and that is for us to love the things in the world, the system of the world, the satanic influence of the world, the materialism of this world. Friends, none of those things, when you're filled with the Spirit of God, mean anything to us, right? That we understand that God can use them and they may be usable in our lives, but we shouldn't yearn and desire and lust after those things, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life, that we have been filled with God's Spirit, and therefore we love God. And as the Scripture says here, that we hate the world in which we live in. Same book, 1 John. If you'll turn over with me to chapter 4, 1 John chapter 4, again, we're reminded here of this love. 1 John chapter 4 and verse number 9. John says, 1 John 4:9 says, God's love was revealed among us in this way, that God sent His one and only Son to the world so that we might live through Him. And love consists in this, not that we love God, but that He loved us and sent His Son to be the propitiation for our sins. And dear friends, if God loved us in this way, we must also love one another. No one has ever seen God, but if we love one another, God remains in us, and His love then has perfected us. So here is the love of God. We didn't love God, right? I don't have it in me before I became a believer to love God, to fall in love with God. But once that happened, once I became a Christian, once I was born again, the Spirit of God baptized me, the Spirit of God sealed me, the Spirit of God took residence in my life, and the Spirit of God is the one who fills me up and gives me a love then for my Savior. Friends, it is that easy. It's that powerful to think about who we are and who He is and why we do the things we do, because we are Spirit-filled believers. Because the Spirit of the living God has filled our lives, and it is He and He alone that produces and energizes in our life love, joy, peace, patience, goodness, kindness, self-control, and against such there is no law, right? Man, that the world can never produce that. The things of this world can never bring a lasting joy and peace and so forth in our life. It is only in a spiritual relationship with God Himself, and He will fill us with His presence. Friends, are you filled with God's presence today? I hope and pray that that you are. Now, I want to take you back for just a moment. And let me stop over here, Galatians 4, for just a moment. And I want you to turn with me for just a moment over to John chapter 7. The Gospel of John chapter 7. And let me say it again, because I'm really teaching. What I would say is that those nine different words, the fruit of the Spirit, we surveyed love. I could go back through all of those words, and the same little nuances of that truth would apply to us as well. If you have faith, you have a faith in God, it's because you're filled with the Spirit of God. You have self-control, oh, it's because we are filled with God's Spirit. John chapter 7 for just a moment, and I want to drop down to words of Jesus here in verse number 37. And here, what I want you to see is another one of these great works of a Spirit-filled believer. What does a Spirit-filled believer look like? Well, here's what the Scripture says. John 7 and verse number 37. Says, on the last and the most important day of the festival, Jesus stood up and he cried out, "If anyone is thirsty, he should come to me and drink. The one who believes in me, as the Scripture has said, will have streams of living water flow from deep within him." And he said this about the Spirit. And those who believed in Jesus were going to receive the Spirit, for the Spirit had not been received because Jesus then has not been glorified. Friends, notice the words of Jesus and what he says. That Jesus said, if you're thirsty, come to me. And the coming to Jesus to believe in him, Jesus said there would be rivers of living water that will gush forth from your life. Friends, remember that these are not natural. In my natural being, in my sinfulness, I have no living waters inside of me. It is only when we become a Christian, it's only when we have a relationship with God, do we have this river of living water that flows from us. Friends, wherever we go, wherever we're at, we're gushing forth the fruit of God's Spirit. Love, joy, peace, patience, goodness, kindness, self-control. And friends, and this is something that will never run dry. It is something that the Spirit of God energizes and overflows from our life. And friends, no wonder we keep keeping on. We keep on going, right? Why? Because we have rivers of living water that flows from us. And it shows and describes for us exactly the work of God's Spirit inside of us. Wherever we go, living water flows, living waters flowing from within us. And man, what a blessing that is in our lives. I'm almost finished. Let me, by the way, it's 12:15 up on that clock. Man, well, I better hurry up. Turn over to same book, John chapter 16 for just a moment, and we'll finish here in just a second. John chapter 16, and drop down to verse number 12, and so we're looking at what it means to be filled with God's Spirit, to be filled with His Spirit, to come under the control of the Spirit. Cannot do it ourselves. It is the work of God. Streams of living water. That we have a love for God and not a love for the world. And notice here that the Spirit of God is that He is the one who produces that in us. But I like Jesus' words here in John 16:12, when Jesus said, "I still have many things to tell you, but you cannot bear them now. And when the Spirit of truth comes, He will guide you into all the truth. And He will not speak on His own, but He will speak on whatever He hears. And He will declare to you what is to come. And He will glorify me, because He will take from what is mine, and He will declare it to you. And everything the Father has is mine." And that's why He said that He will take from what is mine, and He will declare it then to you. What does the Bible tell us here? In Jesus' own words, that He said that the Spirit of God would do. What does the Spirit do? Bible says that he teaches us about Jesus. It is the ministry of the Spirit of God who lives in us, who fills us, who controls us, who produces in us the energies that we cannot produce ourselves, that it is in the Spirit of God as he molds us and makes us in our life that he teaches you about Jesus. He teaches you about the spiritual truth of God's Word, that he reveals to you as we are ready, as the Spirit of God molds us and makes us, as these living waters rush from us in our lives, in our communities, in our families, in our business associates, in our work associates, wherever we are, the Spirit of God is just flowing through us. And then one of the great works that the Spirit does is that he teaches us about the Lord Jesus Christ. You remember 2 weeks ago that I got on my little soapbox and so forth, and I cannot get over, sometimes, in my opinion, all of the energy and stuff, the resources that are spent to try to help God's people out. You know, I have a book. I need to help you. You know, if you buy my book, this book will help you and so forth. No, friends, I don't need another book. What I need is to be filled with God's Spirit. And when God's Spirit fills me and he produces in me this rushing, this living water that flows from me, that he will take this book, the Word of God, and he will reveal the truth of himself in this as he sees fit, as the Spirit of the living God molds us and makes us. It is so moving and so forth that when we come along and all of a sudden the Spirit of God turns the light on and we receive something that we didn't know before. Has that happened recently in your life? Where, man, it was always there, but all of a sudden, boom, man, I can see it now and understand it now. Friends, that is the Spirit of God, the filling of the Spirit of God, that he would reveal the truth of God in such a way. And friends, what I believe is that is an ongoing process of the Spirit of God, and not only in this life, but in the life to come. Friends, forever and ever in the eternity to come, the Lord God Almighty will reveal himself to us. Friends, we're not going to go to heaven and that's it. No, friends, we're going to know him and to fellowship with the Lord Jesus Christ, and what great blessings that will be in our lives. I want you to turn over for just a moment to the book of Romans. Romans chapter 8 for just a moment. Romans chapter 8. And I want to pick up here for just a moment in verse 8. Romans chapter 8 and in verse number 8. Romans 8, 8. And I want to read down through these for just a moment. Romans 8, 8. Here the Apostle Paul says, "And those who are in the flesh cannot please God." Friends, would you agree with that after two, three lessons in the Spirit of God? Friends, in my flesh, if I think that I can do something in my flesh that is pleasing to God, friends, in my opinion, that is an insult to God. Friends, I cannot. Here the Scripture says, do we believe in the authority of God's Word? Do we believe that this is the truth that we're to hold on to, that in myself, that I cannot do anything that would please him? If I'm in my flesh, if I'm in myself, that I cannot do anything. Verse 9, "You, however, are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit, since the Spirit of God lives in you. But if anyone does not have the Spirit of Christ, he does not belong to him. Now if Christ is in you, the body is dead because of sin, but the Spirit is life because of righteousness. And if the Spirit of him who raised Jesus from the dead lives in you, then he who raised Christ from the dead will also bring your mortal bodies to life, then through his Spirit that lives in you." So friends, our life should be led by the Spirit of God who lives in us, that he can change our lives. Verse 14 says, "All of those who are led by God's Spirit are God's sons. And if you did not receive this, we did not receive a spirit of slavery to fall back into fear, but you received the Spirit of adoption, by whom we cry out, 'Abba, Father.' The Spirit Himself testifies together that with our spirit that we are children, God's children, and if children, then heirs, and heirs of God and co-heirs of Christ, seeing that we suffer with Him, that we will also then be glorified Him as well. So what does the Spirit do as he fills us? He leads us. The Spirit of God should be in control. He knows where I need to be. He knows what I need to do. The Spirit of God knows the next hour, the next day, the next week. And so therefore, I need to be Spirit-led. And that's part of what it looks like to be filled with His Spirit. That I'm not grieving God's Spirit. I'm not quenching God's Spirit. God's Spirit is leading me. And the Bible also says in that passage in Romans that He says that He also, the Spirit of the living God, testifies with my spirit that I am really one of the children of God. Friends, for me, that's clear. And I hope that that is clear for you as well. That, friends, I don't struggle every day. I know that I'm a sinner. I do sin. I fall short of God's glory each and every day of my life. But even when I'm in that moment in times in my life, I never doubt that I'm not a child of God. Because the Spirit of God who lives in me is testifying with my spirit that I am a true son of God. Because I'm a preacher, because I'm working? No. Because of His amazing grace that He loves me with, that He loves us with, and that we can know Him. I'm going to close our series out here with the Spirit and the work of in the book of Ephesians. And I want you to turn back there with me and as I lead in the invitation here for just a moment, back to Ephesians chapter 5. I started here in Ephesians chapter 5 and verse 18. And so the Bible says, commands us to be filled by the Spirit of God. The commandment, the imperative, the continuous tense of that. So what would be some of the evidence that you're filled with God's Spirit? Friends, from here in Ephesians chapter 5, all the way down to chapter 6 and verse 9 is some strong evidence of what the filling of the filling and the manifestation of God's Spirit looks like. And I won't read all of those, but I want to pick out a few of them for just a moment. Friends, are you filled with God's Spirit today? What does that look like? To love God? To have a service, right? We all have a spiritual gift. The streams of living water flow out of us, that we are assured that we are God's children. The Spirit of God and my spirit bear witness that He leads me, He teaches me, He guides me. Friends, here are some really, in the words here of Paul in verse 19, he says, to be filled by Spirit of God, speaking to one another in psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs, singing and making music from your heart to the Lord, and giving thanks always for everything to God the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, and submitting to one another in the fear of Christ. Friends, are you filled with God's Spirit? Maybe today when you leave church or when you're, you know, when I have to be all alone and when I sing and I enjoy the filling of God's Spirit, when I lift my voice in praise to God, and I sing to Him, and that for me is one of the strongest evidences here, not only biblically, but experientially in my life, when I move to sing. That's a filling of God's Spirit. Now, a word of personal testimony more than anything. There's times in my life when I study that the Spirit of God will... He'll put a song in my head, usually a word or something that I'll see in the text, and I usually will Google that and bring it up on YouTube, and my heart is moved to worship through that. Hopefully you know what I'm saying here. That is an experience, the manifestation of God's Spirit filling us, the filling of God's Spirit. There's been times in my life where I don't consider myself a very emotional person, but emotions are something that are very real at that moment of worship, a private worship, when God's Spirit fills me and my heart overflows to Him in song. Notice in verse 22, Paul goes on. He says, you want to know, ladies, if you're filled with the Spirit of God? He says, wives, submit to your husbands as to the Lord. Friends, that's what it means to be filled with God's Spirit. Later, Paul, in the same verse, he says, husbands, love your wives as Christ loved the church and gave himself for her. Friends, the filling of the Spirit of God is that we love and that we submit to one for the other. Paul goes on in chapter 6 where he talks about children. Young people, obey your parents in the Lord. Friends, that is what it looks like in the life of a child, a born-again teenager, is to love their and obey their parents. And that's what it looks like to be filled with God's Spirit. And then Paul closes that section by saying, in slaves and masters. Slaves, submit to your masters in everything. I don't think that we really have slaves and masters today in our culture, but what we do have is employers and employees. And there, where we're filled with the Spirit of God as an employee, that we do what our employer says, those expectations. We don't have to be told to do something, right? Men, we're serving God. I'm filled with God's Spirit. And therefore, the manifestation of that is in complete harmony. And that is the picture of what it means to be filled with God's Spirit. Do you love God? Are you filled with His Spirit? You're not grieving God's Spirit. You're not stifling His Spirit. And in that, friends, I think it is a way to live our Christian lives without all the other nonsense and the fluff that is in this life. It is the power of God's Spirit living in us and through us and enables us to live the life that God expects in our life. Friends, if you're here today and you've never trusted in Jesus, I would invite you to do that today. Come to Jesus. Come to Him. Believe in Him and let Him fill you with His Spirit. And leave this place singing joy and happiness and singing the song Amazing Grace. I was once lost, but now I'm saved. Come to Him. Believe in Him. Christian, as you look at your life today, maybe that you're not being filled with the Spirit of God. Maybe today that you need to look at your life and allow the Spirit of God to reveal to you your offense. You're offending God's Spirit. You're grieving Him. No longer do that. Let Him be the Lord of your life. Maybe today, as a Christian, we're unyielded. We don't want to yield to Him. Come, yield your life to Him, and let Him be the Lord and Master of your being. Let's pray. Lord Jesus, we thank You today. In Your own words, Father Jesus, before You went to the cross, that You told the disciples then, and You're telling us today, that it was for their advantage, it's for our advantage, that You go away. Lord, when You were glorified in Your resurrected body, the Father sent Your Spirit into this world, the Holy Spirit. And Lord, we're able to live today in His energy and in His life. And Lord, there's times in our life we want to confess, Lord, that we have hindered the Spirit of God, that, Lord, we have grieved Him. But Lord, now we want to be filled with God's Spirit. Holy Spirit, we ask You to produce in us the energy and the fruit that we could never do in our human existence. And Lord, we ask You to do that. Lord, if there's one here that's not saved, we ask that they would come to believe and trust in You today through the finished work of Calvary. And I pray and ask this in faith, in Jesus' name, amen. Would you stand this morning? As Terry leads us in invitation, I invite you today, come to Jesus.